Welcome to Leaving the Classroom. This is a podcast for teachers who are ready to transition out of the classroom and into a new career. Each week, I'll share stories about what I've learned moving from education to the corporate world. I'll answer the most common questions and share my best tips to help you get started. If you are considering leaving the classroom, this show is for you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leaving the Classroom. I'm Christy Oliva. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm talking to Kim Brooks, former teacher turned holistic wellness curator. Welcome, Kim, to the show.
Thanks. I'm super excited to be here and chat about teaching and what I'm doing now.
I know. I'm so excited for this conversation because I have talked to a couple of teachers lately who have just talked about the physical and mental toll that teaching takes on your body. And so I definitely want to talk about this. But first, let's hear about your transition story, because you are a former teacher. You're in a field that feels outside of teaching, but I'm sure you can tell us that there are a lot of connections. So just start from the top. How long were you teaching? What kind of teacher were you? And take us all the way through how you got out.
Okay. Well, I taught for 18 years. I was in elementary school. I started out as a third grade teacher, fifth grade teacher, reading specialist. Then I was a reading specialist for 2 years in the US, and then I started international teaching. So I was a reading specialist in Morocco for 3 years. And then after being out of the classroom for 5 years and coaching teachers and saying, hey, you should try this thing that I've never tried before because technology is so different, I thought I should go back in the classroom. So then I went to Taiwan for 2 years and I taught fifth grade. And it was a very techie school, learned lots of things. They had a great STEM program.
What city were you in? Because I taught in Taiwan for a minute.
Oh, no way. I was in Taipei.
Oh, okay. I was in Kaohsiung.
Okay. Were you at what school were you at?
It was an international school. It was all Chinese and Taiwanese kids, but a full immersion English school.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. I was in Taipei. So I taught at American schools. But yeah, so that was during COVID. And all along, even though I was traveling and all of that, wellness was important for me. There was still, part of it was me and being a perfectionist. Morocco was less stressful, I would say, but I was still dealing with 12 years of stress from teaching and our fast-paced system here, our changing system here. My first year of teaching, I had, I think, 16 kids in my class, and quickly it went up to 32. Within the next couple of years, they gave me a teacher assistant to share with someone else. But in fifth grade, I'm like, what do I do with a teacher assistant? She can't grade my papers or do any of these things. So it was just over time wearing me down. And then with COVID, now I'm living in Taiwan and my family's all in America. My dad had cancer and so passed away. During that time, I was able to come back to the US and be here and then go back and go through the very strict quarantine in Taiwan. But at that point, I was like, I should probably go home, be closer to family, ground myself a little bit. So I thought I'd take a year off, but with COVID, I didn't think it was the best year to take off because I wanted to travel. So of course I went on LinkedIn, they were hiring for reading specialists in my old district. So, I did the easy thing, went back. After a month, I was done. I was the only reading specialist in the school. It was just, we came right back. There was no transition for kids, teachers, anything. It was okay, let's just get right back to it. Testing started within a couple of weeks and it was too much. So I did make it until June of that year. So I resigned.
Considering leaving before that, was this a buildup or do you think it was?
Yeah, I was ready to leave after my first year of teaching. Oh. My teammate was stay. I had this stack of papers that were I didn't know what to do with them. I had no organization system. I just kept putting them in a pile until the end of the school year. And this pile was so high. And she's like, literally throw all that. So I stayed and I loved teaching. I mean, I was on the leadership team pretty early on. I went to all the trainings. I did all the things. I got my master's in reading. But the work-life balance, I still wanted to have a life where I was doing all the things I wanted to do, which meant I was literally killing myself to do both because it was a lot.
Yeah.
And over that time, I had gotten diagnosed, well, I guess a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. So, which is like chronic pain, inflammation, fatigue. There's a lot of different types of symptoms that go along with that. And yeah, so I was dealing with that on top of teaching. And once I moved to Morocco, I had time and space to really slow down. I also had an opportunity to connect with people who love to travel, were into wellness as well. So we had a yoga instructor that came to our school. I had a yoga studio right by my house. Like, yoga had always been a part of my life, and it was kind of my anchor. Like, I never really went back to kickboxing or boot camp class or any of those, but I always went back to yoga, no matter how much time had passed in between. And so I felt like I was doing these things more once I was there, because we had a, it's like a 3:30 bus and a 5 o'clock bus that took us home. And so I was like, I didn't want to stay till five. So I got on that 3:30 bus every day. And then it kind of forced me to leave work. And everyone was of the mentality that we could, yeah, we didn't have to work so hard. There wasn't all the testing either, or the pressure.
I'm interested to know. So these were American schools, you said, only in Morocco and in Taiwan, but they're mm-hmm. still in different countries. So I'd love to hear what differences you immediately saw from America's education mindset to these other countries, even if it was an American school. I'm sure you saw some differences there that were culturally induced from those countries.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest difference is they were private schools. So we had a teacher assistant in every classroom. They had language classes and like PE or music or whatever. So in Morocco, they had like a 2-hour planning period. And then in Taiwan, we were on a 10-day schedule. So like, I forget, but maybe day 1, 5, 7 were our long special days. So we had like 3 hours and those were our meeting days. So we had a math meeting on like day 1, and then day 5, it was your reading meeting. And then the next time was with your team, just like doing whatever you needed to do. So there was a lot more time for planning, which is unheard of in elementary school. We also had really nice lunches and both schools had yoga teachers. The one in Morocco, we paid for it, but it was very minimal. And then the one in Taiwan, they paid for the teacher to come to school.
Oh, wow.
Just once a week. Yeah. And we also had 11 sessions, I think they provided for a therapist at like a community place right down the street.
Awesome. So this wellness has always been part of you, obviously. I mean, yoga is a huge wellness staple, I think. So then what really made you say, okay, today's the day, or this year's the year, I have to get out? And what did that look like?
Yeah. So I had moved back to the US. At that point, I honestly wasn't sure, like, am I going to go back or am I going to stay here? I was already in this place of, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I can't do this. And I had a house here in Baltimore. I'm in Maryland. And I knew I didn't want to go back to that house. I had renters in there. A couple months after I arrived, of course, they don't pay their rent and they leave. And it was a great time in the market. So everything happens for a reason. I feel like, you know, like the stars are just always aligning. Things are happening. If we open our eyes and we get quiet and we start noticing, it's like, it's all right there. And so this, it just happened. And I sold my house. I had a lot of extra money. I was living with my mom at the time. And yeah, I just decided I wanted to take some time off, because even teaching internationally, where I had so many more breaks than in the US. So like in Morocco, we followed American holidays, Moroccan holidays, Muslim holidays.
Oh, wow.
I was on vacation a lot, and I pretty much lived, you know, right next to Europe. So for $100, I could go most places in Europe. I bought a car while I was in Morocco. So I drove all around the country all the time. And, but still, I was still bound by that teacher schedule. So I just wanted to go travel and not be on a schedule. So I ended up taking that time. I traveled for 2 months. I went to a bunch of the places that I never got to go while living in Morocco, and just kind of like bounced around, met up with some family and friends along the way, and came back. So that was like December of 2022. And there was a yoga teacher training coming up. Someone had recommended this person, because I kept saying like, maybe I'll take the yoga teacher training. And I was thinking I was going to go like, I don't know, somewhere, maybe go to India. I don't know. But these were just things I was saying, which is the same thing with living internationally. It was like this thing that I would be like, yeah, maybe I'll just like do this one day. Not in real life. It was just a dream. But again, everything just sort of put you on that path. So I had been saying that for a while. And then one day there's an Instagram live and this girl is talking about her yoga teacher training, who someone had told me about. I decided to listen to it. And then next thing you know, I'm emailing her. We're having a conversation. I loved her. I'm signing up. I'm sending her all my money. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So not thinking anything except for I wanted to deepen my practice. And I knew at that point, I was just so like lost and stressed. I needed an anchor. So I'm applying for jobs, writing my resume 70 different times, and also learning about all the jobs. So I'd been doing that since the summer before, even while traveling. I was doing all the free webinars, trying to learn about like instructional design, or learning about all the things that they say, if you're a teacher, then these are the perfect jobs for you. So I learned about all of them. And I was like, I went on interviews. One of them was like for teaching, but adults, like soft skills. I was so stressed before this interview. And then I had to teach a group of people online. And I was like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? I don't want to teach anyone in this way. I don't want to be on Zoom, like teaching someone else's presentation. So instructional designer would create the presentation, then I would have to interpret it and teach it. And yeah, so it was a great experience, but as you probably know, it's really challenging to like get rejections, not know what you want to do, figure it all out. And I had started this yoga teacher training during all of this. So I'm like weekend two, bawling my eyes out. I'm like, I don't even know these people. I'm just like, here I am. Just, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And I don't know. I just started through that training, through slowing down, really paying attention to what was important to me and what I wanted. And then on Instagram, a little job posting came up for the stand-up paddleboard place that I had gone to the summer before, and had this thought like, oh, it would be fun to do something like this. Like, you know, this is right after I had quit teaching. Like, I just want a fun job where I don't have to think or do anything. So it popped up. They were hiring. And I was like, well, I'm going to apply. They did not request the resume, but I was like, I am sending you my resume because someone needs to read this thing that I've worked so hard on. I don't know if she ever read it, but she called pretty quickly. And what she didn't post on Instagram is that she needed someone to basically help her manage everything, because she was having baby number two in the middle of summer, which of course was stand-up paddleboarding, is like prime time. So I ended up starting working there and like doing rentals, doing scheduling, social media, planning events, like coordinating with people. So if they wanted to bring a corporate group out for a stand-up paddleboard, or if like a yoga studio wanted to bring their studio outside and do like a paddle, I would help coordinate those events. And sometimes I would lead the paddle portion at that point, I had my yoga teacher certification. So I got my certification in May, started working there in May. So I taught like on land yoga and led paddles after. And then from there, someone who, it was where my yoga teacher training happened. It was her studio. She came there. We had an event together where she was leading the meditation on water. My yoga teacher was leading the yoga on land and I was leading the paddle. So it was kind of like a fun little collaboration. But from that, she was like, oh my gosh, you're doing so many things right now. And she's like, what all do you do? So I told her, she and her and the yoga teacher look at each other. And she was like, I was just telling her, I am overwhelmed and I need someone to come help me do all these things. Would you be open to it? And I said, yeah, let's talk about it later. So obviously stand-up paddleboarding is seasonal. So I started working for her at the end of the season. And I'm still working for her doing back-end things, managing her workshops, payroll, stuff like that. And I started my own business in the midst of everyone else's businesses. So yeah, and I'm now offering private sessions. So in this last year, I've gotten my yoga teacher certification and a meditation training. I got my Reiki certification and breath work. So my hope is to bring all of these modalities that helped me so much during this like stressful transition, but also the stress of teaching. I really leaned on these practices and I've tried so many things. So I leaned into the ones that worked best for me. Everyone's different. But yeah, so I'm excited to now be able to like offer these sessions for people where they can just like come and literally, it is a relaxing experience from the moment you walk in the door. Like just someone to like take care of you, nurture you for 90 minutes, which is what I feel like I needed most when I was teaching. I needed to literally unplug and go somewhere and just disconnect.
So have you seen a difference since you left teaching? Like, I know you mentioned the fibromyalgia. I'm not saying that that necessarily was healed, but I don't know. You tell me, what has been your progress after leaving that stress of teaching?
Yeah. So the other thing is, again, I mentioned earlier, the perfectionist in me is still alive and well. It is definitely something that I'm through yoga, through all these practices I've worked on. So I now notice and catch myself when I'm getting into that place of being busy, because no matter what job you have, you can fall into that like place of overworking yourself and saying yes when you should be saying no. And pushing through instead of taking rest. So it's, I wouldn't say it's completely gone, but oh my gosh, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Also, stress is contagious, and being in these environments where everyone is stressed and like not taking care of themselves, that energy is just, it's toxic. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really important that people like protect their energy and take care of their well-being. So yeah, I'm not waking up at 5:30 in the morning. I make my own schedule. Like if I have a doctor's appointment and for some reason, something, it was like a day where I had to actually, I mean, most of my work is remote. So aside from when I have to go teach in person and things like that, but I can create my entire schedule. So, I mean, I was at the beach for a week last week working from there. And I just text my boss. I mean, she's the owner of a meditation and yoga studio. So we have very different conversations. We start meetings with like taking a breath and yeah. I can tell her like, I'm overwhelmed and I think there were some boundaries I didn't have quite in place and just working with things that, you know, you don't know, because when you're a teacher, you're just kind of told what to do and you don't really have control.
What's interesting about what you brought up is I talked to so many teachers and I experienced this myself where I've had a hard time turning that off, that I must say yes to everything. I have to take on everything. I even have a hard time like my job encourages me to take time for life, you know, work-life balance and making sure that, like, if my kids are sick, they don't even say, oh, make sure that you put in your time. They're just like, go take care of your kids. But I have a hard time, like, I've always held on to a second job, even after leaving teaching, because it's almost like I'm addicted to, like, I can't sit still. I can't stop. And so I'd love to hear your suggestions, like, of how to break that cycle, because I think I thought it was immediately going to just immediately be relieved. And there are so many things that did get immediately relieved when I left teaching. But like I said, I talked to other teachers too. I think we all struggle with stopping the cycle of certain things that we got accustomed to in teaching. And one of those is never being able to stop working. Like, I just find more things to fill up my day. And it's like, I don't need to anymore. I don't have that financial burden, but I still am like, I have more time, so I must find something to do. Like, what would you say to somebody who's struggling with that, with embracing the time that they now have presented to them?
Yeah. That time is, it can be really scary for people too, because that quiet time is like the time where your thoughts are running wild and you're hearing those thoughts, and they might not all be really positive thoughts. So when you have those limiting beliefs and you have those self-critical words, you know, especially if you're applying for jobs and you're getting rejections and then you're telling yourself like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Why did I do this? I'm never going to get a job. That's not helping. That energy is you. There's like a thing that we say in yoga, and it's energy flows where attention goes. So when you're putting your energy on being overwhelmed, being stressed, being that scarcity mindset, any of those things, your energy is being directed there. And it's one of my favorite quotes, because I find myself, even with all of this work, still noticing these patterns. And I mean, I've had therapists, I have a coach right now that's helping me with business things. One of the things that's really helped is writing down my vision for my life and figuring out, like, what are my values, my top like 3 to 5 values. And for me, it's connection and community, flexibility and freedom. Those kind of go together for me. I guess I made it like a lot more than 3 to 5, but I call those words the same thing. But like connection, community, flexibility, freedom, growth is really important to me. And creativity. So now, like, whittling down to those, I know that whatever job I have or whatever I'm doing for myself, like, I need those things to be a part of it. And, you know, in 5 years, my values might shift a little bit as to which ones are most important to me. But I think it's really important to spend that time getting to know yourself while you're in the job hunt. Like, what are those thoughts coming in? Write them down. They're not true. Mm. Get them out on paper and start to figure out what you want your life to look like. And then take baby steps. Like, what can you do right now that is going to help you achieve that desired feeling? Because what you want is a certain feeling. Everyone wants to be happy, safe, loved, whether it's through work, your family, yourself, whatever it is, that's some of the main things that we all need. So how can you feel that way? And that's going to help, like, when interviewers have that question, like, what questions do you have for us? Like, ask about the work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're looking for something strictly remote, but I think it's really hard for teachers to understand that when you leave teaching, even if you did have to go in a couple days here and there, it's still like maybe the flexibility piece is more important than the remote piece. So really, yes, getting down to that, why do you want that thing? What is it that you want for your life and for yourself?
Well, and they think it's one or the other. They think it's either like teaching where there's absolutely no freedom, or it's remote. Like, I'm hybrid, 3 days in office, but it's not even 3 full days. I just need to go in 3 days. So I usually go in after traffic and then before traffic. So it's about half the day that I spend there. And I still have flexibility of which days, and I still have flexibility of which hours. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of teachers do think that they need to demand fully remote in order to have the flexibility they're looking for, but that's not necessarily true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think it's really important to get clear. And sometimes you don't know until you try some different things out, and really like taking breaks, asking for help. Because, I mean, you can sit in front of the computer all day long job hunting. But also when you get into that new job, like, give yourself grace. It is a new job. It is completely different from teaching. You are not expected to know everything, and people are going to be supportive. So when you enter this new space, like, start connecting with people and maybe even asking whoever is in charge, like, all right, who are the people that I go to for support? So I think that's pretty important. Another thing that I
for teachers though too, like, I know I still struggle with that 4 years out, because like I just had a one-on-one with my manager, my annual review this week, and that what came up, that I sit in a spot for way too long before I ask for help. And I blame that on teaching. I do. I always say that teachers are programmed. I compare teaching to like either like a narcissistic abusive relationship or a cult, which is still a narcissistic abusive relationship. And you get programmed on certain behaviors, certain feelings, certain things. And one of those is you should be able to figure this out all by yourself. You shouldn't need to ask for help. In fact, there's nobody here to help you. You're on your own. Even if those words weren't explicitly ever said to me, that's the programming I received. And 4 years later, I'm still having to deprogram myself, which is so interesting, because again, I thought as soon as I got out, all these things were just going to be fixed. And I'm still struggling with these, for lack of a better word, wounds from teaching.
Yeah. And I mean, I've done like deep dive into healing modalities and things. And I mean, I can't even imagine my life without all of these at this point, but they just helped me so much with just really that time for myself. And like, our body has the ability to heal itself and take care of itself. That's what it does. But when we are like drowning it with all kinds of things, because we're self-medicating with who knows what, and then just the stress, the impact that stress has on our body is insane. And I've just been doing a lot more research recently. I mean, I'm not a neuroscientist or anything like that, or in the medical field, so I can't like really speak to it, but gosh, I just listened to something online the other day, and it was even talking about dry skin. I've had dry skin for so long, and that being an effect of stress. And I was like, oh my gosh, everything they were talking about. It was like, this was everything that I was experiencing was stress, and having like living on that constant elevated cortisol spike always, like that is your state of norm. And so now, I mean, I wake up. When I wake up, I don't typically have an alarm. I mean, I teach yoga, I do breath work, I do meditation. I have like quiet time throughout my day. And so I just think that's really, really important, no matter what you're doing. If you stay in teaching, if you're transitioning, if you're in a new job, taking that time to get quiet with your thoughts, as scary as they may be.
I think that's a perfect way to finish this off. I've got two more questions for you, though, that I ask everybody. The first one is, can you tell me three traits as a teacher that have served you well in this new endeavor?
Well, I'm very organized, reliable, like dependable. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to actually do it. And I think my ability to make things that are complex a little bit more digestible for people. Yeah. So just teaching in general.
And last question that's for me, do you regret leaving teaching?
No, not even a little bit. I miss teaching. I miss the kids. I miss planning the lessons. I miss all of that. But once I figure out what I'm doing now, like fully, I intend to be present in some way. I loved my conversations with teachers, and yeah, I mean, teaching, I would like to go back into schools in some capacity and be able to support education. I don't know what's going to happen with the education system moving forward. It's a little scary to think about, but it's so important, and it will always be really important to me, whether I'm in it or not. But I got to a point where I'm not helpful anymore. I needed to help myself before I could do any good.
Yeah. I think that's where I am too. Like, but I do feel this like nagging need to just go back and help, like, you know, help the other people off the sinking ship and put their masks on, or however, whatever analogy you want to use. Well, so I'd love for you to tell people how they can get in contact with you. I don't know if you teach virtual classes, but gosh, I'd be interested. So tell us how to get in touch with you and find out more about taking advantage of your services.
Yeah, 100%. I'm always happy to connect. I don't have like a scheduled virtual class regularly, but I do private sessions. And so it's kind of a blend of yoga, meditation, breath work, and Reiki healing energy. So it's kind of based on, you know, our conversation of what someone is needing. And then I'll kind of curate like an experience that will be really like nourishing for their body. But they can find me on LinkedIn, Kim Brooks, or on my website. It's www.kimbrooksyoga-wellness.com. But you can also find
that. The dash, the horizontal dash, right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
We'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah, my website's on my LinkedIn too. So that might be the easiest way to find me.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming. I'm so excited to have met you and talked to you. I always get so excited when I see transitioned teachers pop up in my feed. So thanks I had never met you before. And so today's been fun.
Yes, it's been great. Thanks for doing this and like supporting teachers in this way. It's amazing.
You're welcome. Do you want to leave the classroom, but you're not sure where to start? Take the free Leaving the Classroom career quiz at idlecourses.com/leaving the classroom. It's time to take control and make the career change that will change your life. It changed mine. See you next time.
That's all for this episode, but you can find more at idlecourses.com or subscribe to the podcast. And if you are ready to leave the classroom, use my code CLASSROOM100 and get $100 off enrollment to Idle Courses Academy.